Happy birthday, homie.
For me?
Yeah. Happy birthday, homeboy.
For me?
Yeah. Make a wish.
I'll kill you!
Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heads or tails.
Well, speaking of Kurt Russell, let's go ahead and get this motherfucker started.
Yeah, all right.
Episode 10, everybody.
Number 10. We're big boys now.
We sort of had this thing as long as we got past episode 4.
Yeah.
Then we would be good to go, which, hey, we made it to 10. So let's first off say happy birthday to Mikey.
Let's say happy birthday to George.
Woo!
Both on the same day.
One day and then the next
day.
Yesterday.
I'm sorry.
It worked out.
Day late.
Well, dude, my mom didn't even call me yesterday. So
dude, you just said fuck my mom.
Okay, well, officially fuck my mom then because she didn't call me yesterday. So
is that us or is that for us or for the listeners?
It's for me.
Not touching that.
We're working through personal issues.
We're gonna work through it. This is more of a therapy podcast, if we could be honest with ourselves. So episode 10, and we're doing like Matt Smith suggested, our namesake episode. Let's have you explain that just a bit.
Well, as George said, I am Matt Smith, and we
I did say that, didn't I?
Oh wait, did we forget the introductions?
We always do.
Well, that's Jorge.
So yeah, you know Jorge, and then the other person you just heard,
Mikey, obnoxious laughter Camacho.
Mikey,
I think Mikey, you're gonna get an award for most distinct laughter of any podcast ever.
Oh great!
And now I think we can officially call him a co-host because
I'm
a part of the episode.
Actually, flip that thing back over to the felt, or else it'll stick to it, and I'll, yeah.
That's what she said.
That's what you got to suggest.
Really?
Yeah. Man, we've got a long time.
That was terrible.
You had to?
I'll get a better one.
I have to edit that out, you know.
I just set you guys up so good.
I did the last one.
I don't even remember. Anyways, so the way we got the name, Jorge and I were at a baseball game, and we were talking about doing our first episode, which was... The battery.
Ooh, there it is.
Oh, we got it in.
Talk about it again.
No.
So we were like, let's contact the director, and we wanted to email him, but we said we shouldn't use our personal address.
Yeah, right. What do we do?
We should create an email address for the show. Okay, cool. Well, hey, we should probably create a name for the show first. So we were trying to think of...
Well, and the first one I threw out was Captain Spaulding's
the shack. I don't remember the name, and it's driven me nuts. But not
yeah, it was the name. It was the name of like the shack, and it worked okay. But when you brought up who goes there, it was like, dude, that's perfect.
Yeah, I just looked for what horror movie do I love, and then a piece of trivia, and Who Goes There was a novella written that inspired The Thing from Outer Space, which inspired The Thing, 2011.
Yeah.
Which we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about both versions of the movie. Well, I don't even want to say both versions because...
They're different.
Well, we'll get into it in a second. You had a couple things you wanted to get to. First off, the Pendulette business.
I do. So, as you may have seen on our Facebook, facebook.com/whogoestherepodcast.
Dirty plug.
Douche.
Penn Jillette of Penn & Teller fame is doing a Fund Anything campaign to produce a new horror movie called Director's Cut. And he shopped it around Hollywood. They all said they love it, but it's too smart for people. And he just wants to play a really bad guy. He said every guy he's ever played is a version of Penn. But he wants to be a complete asshole, like just an immoral, morose, just fucked up dude. So he launched a crowdfunding campaign, and he's giving away some really, really great stuff. And you guys should go and check it out and get yourself a red carpet treatment or a goodie bag even just the shirts, the Blu-rays, anything.
I mean, they were giving away, somebody already purchased, they had Penn & Teller officiating their wedding
yeah.
at this point. There are tons of things that you can get. One-of-a-kind chances, like having Penn answer your phone calls for life.
You can get a tour of Penn's house for you and five of your friends and a jacuzzi party, like, for $3,500 or something, so...
So, well, let's quick talk about the potential for the podcast. What this could mean is there's a possibility, outside chance.
Some of us will be at the red carpet premiere.
Some of us?
And
I think only one of us, really, at this point.
Well, so far.
I'm speaking some of us in the collective sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Some of us as I will be representing the three of us.
If I didn't have an infant son, I would totally be on board. But
yeah,
and I gotta get that screw up.
That's a good amount of diapers, right?
Yeah, so we'll be there, and we've been talking to him, and hopefully we can get him on the show to talk about the campaign, and then hopefully once the film comes out, we'll review it, and we can have him on to talk about the film.
Which would be super cool. I mean, even to get him on for a quick 5-minute, you know, whatever. Is he talking, were you trying to harangue, like, a full podcast appearance?
I said we can do anything from, like, a 5-minute interview to, like, just a whole shebang.
Take what we can get.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be great.
And you know, judging from they have a little nice little teaser where Penn goes on and tries to, you know, sell you on the whole thing, and it's really cool because then you get to see him and be a villain for a short moment. And I gotta tell you, it's really convincing. If you watch that, you're gonna be convinced.
Yes.
I'll, you know what? This is brand new to me, so I'll have to take a look at it, and we'll see where we go from there. Okay, I had two quick things I wanted to chat with you guys about before we get into the podcast proper. Did you guys hear anything about this horror movie that was secretly filmed at Disneyland?
If you were a part of our Facebook, you would know that.
Well, you know, hey, if anybody listening knows me, who I am, I fucking hate social media stuff, so I'm not on any of that shit.
I believe it's called Escape from Tomorrow or Escape
from Tomorrowland. Yeah, something like that. From what I understand, they basically filmed the whole thing, you know, covertly, because obviously Disneyland doesn't want anybody, you know, on their property filming a movie. But from what I understand, they basically would come in and film, like, with iPhones, and a lot of the, in fact, a lot of the film audio was actually done with the iPhone microphone, which is really cool. But they would come in with, like...
Wait, is this just an Apple plug?
Secretly funded by Apple.
Yeah.
Hey, you never know.
Because we're Android.
Steve Jobs, you devil.
Are we Android? Only two-thirds.
Yeah, and only our podcast is recorded on a Mac, so...
But
we crossed the line. It's okay.
It's fine.
I conformed.
This is the DM. Oh, okay. This is the DMZ right here. Okay. We're in the demilitarized.
All right. But yeah, so and I guess the whole bit was they would come in and have, like, stupid outfits, like, from day to day, like, from one moment to the next, they would have, like, Fu Manchu, like, fake mustaches and stuff like that. But they filmed the whole damn thing, and I guess from what I understand, it's getting released.
Is it?
And Disney really can't. I mean, what can they do?
It's kind of just, like, legit found footage.
Yeah, it's really interesting, and it's a straight up horror film. I haven't read enough about it to really speak on the movie itself, but it's just really interesting that they were able to get the whole damn thing filmed secretly. And I heard, like, they had to ride It's a Small World, like, 17 times.
That's,
like,
maddening.
I can't even ride that shit once.
Yeah.
Let me off!
Yeah.
I'll ride the shit out of that Winnie the Pooh ride, though.
Or how about Mr. Toad?
Dude, that's my ride.
Where you go to hell?
Yeah. Teacups all day.
Oh,
my nickname,
man,
as a kid was Toad, and I'm totally going to hell anyway.
Do you ever, when you do those teacups, do you ever spin them so fast that you feel like you're going a little bit insane?
I feel like my eyes are rolling back and my head's going to fall off.
Totally.
My head's, like, swinging around the edge of the cup, picking up maximum centrifugal force, and I just feel my brain squeezing. That's when you know it's good.
Centrifugal. And the other point that I wanted to chat with you guys about was, have you guys seen Trollhunter?
Yes.
Okay. I read today that... The
aren't they re-releasing?
The remake
is
greenlit.
Oh, that's stupid.
Wait, Troll Hunter. No, I've seen Troll.
It was a cool movie.
Was it two years ago? It's 2 years ago. We'll look it up in a bit. But yeah, if you haven't seen it, it's really fascinating. It's Norwegian, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so.
It's a Norwegian film. where it's basically like trolls are fucking real, and
they
might be, and they sort of haunt the Norwegian like wilderness. And there's this one specific guy who's like a badass troll hunter. Like, he knows all the tricks, like using UV light to turn them into stone, and you know, their mating calls and all kinds of shit. But it's a brilliant film. Like it's in a low budget. It's not even a horror film really. It's more like a creature feature kind of deal.
Oh, yeah.
And
it falls under the horror blanket.
Yeah, I guess it does. Yeah, you're right. But it's I would check it out if you know it's on Netflix if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
But it's unfortunately getting remade.
The summary is: a group of students investigates a series of mysterious bear killings, but learns there are much more dangerous things going on. They start to follow a mysterious hunter, learning that he's actually a troll hunter.
Yeah.
Sounds like some Castlevania shit to me.
And I'm down with that.
Yep.
We know we love Castlevania here on the podcast.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Did we talk about Castlevania already?
We did last episode a little bit.
I kind of talk about it all the time, so I don't really know.
Did we talk about it? Oh, we did.
Well, we talked about Symphony of the Night being... Mm-hmm.
We're going to do a video game episode
very soon. The best
fucking
Castlevania game of all time.
A new one will come out that will be better. I don't know. There's a lot of good 2D games.
Did you play that, the Xbox 360?
The Lord of the Shadows?
Yeah.
It was...
Like the third person Resident Evil bullshit.
I plan on going back to beat it, but it felt like just God of War.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah,
God of War with Castlevania.
I'm not a big fan of hack and slash.
It was pretty bad. Speaking of video games, I had a couple few games to trade in, Monday of this week? And I picked up Dragon's Crown.
Ah, good move.
It cost me $18.
That's it?
After my trade-ins, yeah.
That's Steam worthy.
So I was okay with it. Every free moment I have is dedicated to that game right now.
I have a level 78 warrior, and I'm going for 99.
It is unbelievably fun.
I'm going to have to stop the geek train before you guys get way too
You
want to
stop it?
No, because I know you guys... You guys are going to go...
Well, I just wanted to say that
that's cool, but I have to put the brakes before
binary
hard on.
If you were gonna purchase it, I think the $60 is probably worth it. It won't be long before
the price drops at least a little bit.
It's super fun.
It's worth picking up.
I'm playing an elf right now.
Oh, nice! Yeah. Very cool.
That's my
choice. Archer class. Very nice.
Archer class. Yeah.
All right.
But let's get to the meat of the podcast. Mm. We're going to be discussing. First off, the remake Carpenter
prequel.
Thing.
Prequel, yes.
Well, no, it's not a remake.
You know what?
I think we should go with the prequel.
Okay, so story-wise.
Okay, that's fine.
We can chat about the prequel first.
The
2011, because it did technically come first.
Yeah. Well, so we can kind of chat about sort of how it sort of came about. The 2011 version is essentially a prequel, but... If you're watching it, it's almost like a beat for beat remake, but
it kind of is.
Just has that prequel
and there's a few
feel.
Reasons for that actually. It's technically a prequel to a remake of an adaptation of a novella. So it's become so far removed from the source material at this point, but it's really only connected to the Carpenter film. But when I did a little research, I found out that they actually they wanted to do a remake of the thing, but Universal said that. They thought the film was so great that it would be like painting a mustache on the Mona Lisa.
Right.
They actually did not want a green light
Which
a remake of it.
Which was funny because everybody hated that movie when it came out. It flopped so hard. It only made like $3 million.
The original thing?
Not the original, but the Carpenter thing.
Let's. We're talking about the Carpenter.
The 1982 yeah. John Carpenter.
We're gonna just forget about the novella and the adaptation. We're talking Thing. And
although
the 2011
the John Carpenter version of the thing is the closest to the novella.
That's fine. Okay, as of last week, you guys hadn't seen...
As of last night, I hadn't seen
okay,
it.
Okay, so you guys hadn't seen it yet.
I'd like to come in fresh.
Quick thoughts. What did you think?
Brilliant.
Loved it.
Absolutely.
I thought I was going to hate it.
The Carpenter one's one of my favorite films of all time. I can watch it any time of the day, all the time, every time. And I was not disappointed. They connected all the dots.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, last week when we chatted about it a little bit, I had sort of let in that I really enjoyed it. It honestly,
didn't sway me at all.
No, sorry, yeah, of course it wouldn't. Yeah, yeah.
He was right.
Jorge suggesting something just immediately turns Matt off.
Oh, but Dragon's Crown, I'll never buy that.
Never.
World War Z? I'll never buy that.
Brilliant.
I think if you sort of like, even if you just kind of ignore the fact that it's like a prequel or whatever, I think as a standalone film, it's really well done. Yeah. What's her name? Mary Elizabeth Winstead?
She
was perfect.
Incredibly strong. She was great.
Yeah.
She was. But, dude, on the cast. Okay, I loved most of the casting. But then as soon as they showed Adam Finch, I was like, he looks really. He's that asshole from Dumb and Dumber. And like.
Oh, I've never even seen that. I saw Dumb and Dumber.
It took me out of the movie for a minute. I was really pissed.
Can we assume that movie doesn't exist?
Until Tormund Giantsbane showed up. For those of you that don't know, Tormund Giantsbane is the big red bearded badass that was also in Game of Thrones.
Oh yeah, that's
so really,
he was in Game of Thrones.
Yes, he's Tormund Giantsbane in Game of Thrones.
Ah.
That's why it felt really appropriate seeing him in like an icy, snowy setting. He was one of the
well. So speaking of Norwegian films, it's got a bunch of Swedes in it, right? Norsemen. Yeah, Norsemen with fucking awesome beards.
And zero black metal. What the fuck?
The opportunity is so prime.
So many Norwegians and no black
metal. So little black metal.
Where's Dimmu Borgir when you need him?
Oh, come on. Ruin the film. I'm going to be a black metal elitist for a minute. I like better black metal than that.
My black is so metal. but it basically, if we can sort of jump forward to the, or rather jump backward to the original, it kind of does the same thing where, you know, it's the discovery of a thing, you know, in the ice.
Yeah, they find like a giant spaceship or something under the ice. I mean, it looks enormous.
It was like
a football field sized spaceship that was underneath the ice.
And then they find a creature under the ice, which they then unearth and want to study, and it subsequently escapes.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy. The coolest scene, I think, was every scene. Well, no, it was no.
That movie was so good. Flew by. It felt like it was 20 minutes long.
I'm so happy you guys liked it. I thought I was going to sit here during this podcast and just be like, I liked it. You know, it's just feeling really bad about liking it. But the part of the movie where the block of ice with the alien is sort of left to itself and they're all partying, they're having a fucking great time.
And Adebisi walks in.
Yeah. Totally. They're having a great time, and this fucking cool-ass monster jumps at, or breaks through this thing of ice. It
explodes through the ice, through the ceiling.
The movie definitely picked up very quick.
It
took a moment to build some suspense, but it really just unleashed right from the beginning, which, at first when I saw that, I thought that it was probably a bad choice. I thought it was just kind of like more modern filmmaking style, which it is, but I didn't think they'd be able to keep up such a pace in the movie.
It was paced really nicely. Yeah.
But the film, even though it came out with a bang, it kept consistently hitting on every point.
And I liked what they did with it was done in the original. I like what they did with the testing for.
Oh yeah.
No, see, I found so many problems with that. It was like Adam said, he's like, "What? I'm gonna get killed because I have perfect teeth." Like, that's kind of shitty that... Well, okay, before we get that far, when they first get to dissect one of the monsters, they prove that they replicate your own cells, but it can't recreate non-organic material.
Right.
So if you have something like a steel plate in your arm, or if you have
a filling or whatever,
that stuff will be expelled. So essentially, if you're one of those things, you should... Or if you're a human, you should have fillings or something like that.
The discovery of that is actually one of the cooler gross out scenes of the movie where I don't even remember her character's name, but
Kate Lloyd
goes into the shower and sees this little pile of
rat droppings.
Just like rat droppings, and she looks inside of it and there's like fillings and crowns and stuff. And so she kind of realizes that, you know, something's up.
Pulls back the shower curtain, just covered in blood.
Super cool. Yeah, I really like that. And then, you know, she tries to flag down a helicopter, and there's, like, death and destruction, and now we have our human test.
Yeah. And so, you know, on that helicopter, like, two guys wound up walking away from that crash.
Yeah, yeah. There's the horrific, the first attack of, the first real attack of the thing ends up dropping a helicopter out of the sky.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And in Antarctica, and a good distance from base camp.
Like miles.
Yeah.
It seemed like,
and somehow these guys make a return later in the film.
But when that dude in the helicopter turned, first of all, I didn't think it was going to be the guy that it was. In the helicopter that was
the thing is never who you think it's gonna
but
be.
But then just never like is. How he was sitting there and he just kind of twitched and his face kind of just like split or shifted.
The creature effects were.
And then split open. The CG was like, I would normally be really nitpicky,
well,
and I thought it was done really well.
And the CG was actually, if you kind of I watched and it wasn't a making of, but like a featurette of it. There's a lot of practical effects in the movie, like
but CG effects were just additional.
Yeah. The body melding thing that happens sort of like two-thirds of the way through, where it's the asshole from Dumb and Dumber and the other guy, that thing, once it's merged together, is actually a big puppet.
Right, yeah.
It's it looks
fucking
awesome.
Apparently everything in the film, there was some kind of animatronic or puppetry going on in order to not only, you know, give a basis for the scene, but to get actual reactions from the actors.
Yeah.
Which it did create some very strong performances in the film.
It was
very well acted.
Really, really well done.
The only CG part I really had an issue was when the girl transformed and she was kind of doing that bending over backward thing and it showed the view of her chest. It just looked way too shiny, just way too...
That's being nitpicky.
Because credit to this film, because it had big shoes to fill. Because the John Carpenter version of the thing... Rob Bottin, who I'm a big fan of, did a lot of the special creature effects. He was the one responsible for, you know, the head tearing off of the body and all the tentacle shooting out. Like,
oh, God,
that was his creation.
I can't wait to talk about the original.
Oh, I know. We're going to be...
God.
So, credit to this movie, because the creature effects were insane.
Yeah.
And
they really, really well done.
They stayed very true to the original, and the fact that they used a lot of practical effects and were able to shoot a lot of it in camera just made it... feel that much more impactful than some CG creature.
Yeah. Well, and you know, it's sad to say that the film actually was a total bomb.
In
the theaters. No, like completely. Like we're talking domestic and worldwide.
A lot of people were probably just assholes like me and were like, fuck that.
So
I should have
supported this film.
The budget was something like $33 million.
Yeah.
And it grossed $18 million.
Ouch.
It fucking got murdered, dude.
It sucks because it's fantastic.
Which is unfortunate.
And that's funny because the studio had apprehensions about going in, you know, making another thing. And I guess maybe they're proven true. Everybody figured that it wasn't going to be able to compare to the Carpenter version.
I think the only time, for me, the only time that the movie really, I don't want to say falls apart, but the least engaging part was the very, 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 very last act.
Yeah.
Where we're in the spaceship and we see, like, a transmorphing fucking thing and there's a spaceship.
It fell out of the universe that we know.
The pixelated thing looked like Aqua Teen Hunger Force. Like, I was like, what is this?
It took me out of the universe that I'm used to being in with the thing. It's all about that isolated,
setting. That's exactly what it is.
It disengaged from... the stronger storytelling point, where you're interacting between people and the who's the thing, like, keeping you guessing, keeping you doubting, and suddenly the suspense was gone. And it actually took on a tone more like a film like Alien.
There was
a shot that was exactly like a shot.
Exactly like Alien, and also, if you've seen any of the X-Files movies...
Oh, yeah.
It was like, I was like watching
was
fucking
like
X-Files,
X-Files
whatever the fuck version it was, but I was like, ah, oh, shit, these
were
guys...
Were you guys staring at Homeboy's ear the entire time? Like, looking to see if his earring came out? Because I was.
They established earlier on that, like you said, the inorganic material can't be replicated. And that's one thing that you pick up on. And, like, something like a piercing wouldn't be there.
Right.
Yeah. If a filling's not going to be there, a piercing wouldn't. So I saw that guy had that one really tiny gold hoop. and I was staring at his ear.
You're staring, yeah, yeah. I think
every
I did the same thing.
Every time he came on screen, I'm like, let me see your fucking ear. Let me see that shit, motherfucker.
Which ended up coming to fruition.
Yeah.
At the very
oh,
end.
Dude,
it was
the coolest,
I'm like, oh, seriously.
The coolest death scene. She just fucking torches
yeah,
his
yeah,
ass.
No mercy. So many cool death scenes. And she was very reminiscent of Ripley. Like, the whole character is reminiscent
yeah.
of Ripley. The very the strong, like, I know what's going on female character.
And you know, now that you bring that up, maybe that's what they were trying to do. Like, she's a badass chick in a Ripley sort of sense with that last little bit where they're
didn't
in.
This come out? Oh, wait, no, this is 2009. I'm sorry. I was thinking of the original.
What now?
I was thinking of the original.
Nothing.
I was going to say, didn't this come out in 1982? Like, way before Alien?
And all mixed up.
Why is this all fucked up? I don't know. No, I...
God damn, time warps.
I just... Yeah, the... Up to that point, I was fucking all in. The last, like, 20 minutes, I was... okay. But it's fine, because as a whole, the movie was great.
Right,
I really enjoyed it.
You know, I felt the same way, because you get the ending, which was kind of, you know... It felt odd for a minute. It didn't feel like it really stayed true to the other film or to any of the basis for that. But then when they tied it all up in the end, like you see credits and you're like, oh man, like it seemed kind of disappointing.
Yeah.
And I was like, I thought they were going to connect all the dots because
yeah.
the film seemed so much like the John Carpenter film
mm-hmm.
that I figured that they were going to have to connect it all. And when they did in the end, I was very happy about
yeah.
it. And they did a lot of work to make it feel the same.
Well, yeah, and I think what they were fighting against is. They were trying to make a perfect transition from the thing 2011 to the original thing, and the way they set it up was it worked out okay.
I think they did a really
good
job. They did a really good
job.
They had to put her where they put her at that moment for it to work out.
Yeah, because I felt like it was clumsy at first. I was like, oh, there's Americans, and they're also like, this is supposed to be a Norwegian camp, but they're all Norwegian. But in the end, they pulled me back in and
yeah.
made me believe that it all could be connected. And it was good because the film, if you watch it standalone, you don't think about the fact that it's not modern. But if you've seen the Carpenter version, it connects with that. Like, there's no modern technology shown in the film, but it's not something that you notice because they're so isolated
yeah.
in the first place.
They're almost like if in the in if you're
timeless.
Talking chronologically, they almost happen simultaneously.
Yeah, it,
like
it's seriously right. like. Leads right.
It's minute to minute.
But watching the thing when it came out in 2011, you would have no doubt that that film could have happened that year if you hadn't seen the Carpenter
yeah.
version. So it stayed relevant.
Well, they definitely
the
well,
like
and
the
they also
technology.
Definitely like they the way they did it. You know, they the way they were able to be like, okay, this is the era that you're in. Was Homegirl listening to Who Can It Be Now
which
at the very beginning.
Hilarious.
Which was really funny. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I thought that was a cool little
yeah.
like reference to Who Goes There. You know, it's like,
yeah,
who
me
goes
too.
There? Like,
well, look at you.
I took a little bit of notes this time.
And
you always take notes.
And you know,
this surprise.
The main theme of the film was very similar to the Morricone score for the original thing. When you look at the credits, they're in the same font with the same color background.
Yeah.
In all the films, they always have the same kind of opening sequence when they reveal the logo. It always looks similar. They really did a lot of work to tie it in and make it have a similar feel
yeah.
to the original one. And I have to say, I cannot think of another film that was a prequel that seemed to tie in so neatly and so well as this one.
Okay.
Although
yeah.
for a moment I disengaged during the third act, like you said.
Yeah, yeah, a little bit,
but then
a little bit.
It came right back around in the end.
Yeah. Well, so we can talk about how clean the transition was because so at the end of the 2011 one, what happens to the dogs or the wolves? I'm sorry.
The alien is in one of the dogs.
The alien, but how did it get in there? I don't remember.
There's a moment where. So the dog is earlier you see that the dog's been killed, essentially.
Yeah.
And it's not like, can there only be one thing or can it replicate? It replicates because it takes over the world. So
I think there's several of them.
Really?
I do think there's, because
when they kill one, there's still others
yeah.
infecting others. So there can be several of them.
True, there's more than one.
To,
yeah, absolutely.
So
I, you know what? I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about... The original, not
right.
the new
so,
one.
So this could
because I felt like in the new one they were that it was just one. That's how I kind of felt about it.
I kind of felt like
well,
that
but
too.
But even in the original, they went back to the camp and there was the burned up ones, but then there was still the one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're able to replicate. It could have happened at any point. You see the dog thing happen early on. It could have been the dog the entire time, and it could have been somewhere else.
Yeah.
But I mean,
replicate and duplicate is basically what what fucker can do.
Yeah.
Goddamn thing.
God,
you're a
motherfucker.
Let me take a quick piss. There we go. So we're talking about the goddamn thing. That goddamn thing.
That motherfucking thing.
Yeah, and that's a good spot for us to sort of transition back in time and forward in time at the same time to the original John Carpenter version of The Thing.
Yes.
Okay. First off, that film.
Kurt Russell!
That's not the first off. No.
First off, Kurt Russell.
The Thing is one of the few films that, from like our childhood and like our early horror movie viewing, is one of the like handful of films that still fucking holds up.
Oh yeah.
Because look, I'll tell you this: when people get upset about like, you know, films being remade and sequels and whatnot, I'm always like, yeah, those fucking movies weren't that good.
Yeah.
Like when we're talking about, you know, there's certain remakes and I'm like, okay, good, now they'll be better.
Mm-hmm.
The Thing is clearly not that film.
That's why I kind of boycotted.
Yeah, the Thing is the original Thing. John Carpenter, Kurt Russell is flawless.
Yeah.
I want to say it's flawless.
It's pretty brilliant.
Yeah, some star performances. Yeah, Keith David and Wilford Brimley delivering amazing performances.
Diabetes.
And then Kurt Russell, I have to say, like, I love him too. I really do, man. Not as much as you do, but
I have.
Does anybody?
I have a mild obsession with Kurt Russell.
He gives a lot of cheeky, over the top performances, you know. And to see how understated and like just to see like the amount of dread he can display on his face.
And that fucking beard,
as McCready.
That beard is fucking legit.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But it's such a.
That beard is strong.
That role is like a one off from his whole career that just seemed to be, you know, such a strong performance. For me, whenever I think of Kurt Russell, I'm gonna think of two characters.
Jack Burton.
Well, three.
How is Jack Burton not the first one?
So there's the three. There's the triangle of the Russell.
Yeah.
So between the writing, the performances, the direction of the film, the creature effects, like all the right people were in the right place at the right time for that film.
Yeah.
And you know, a very interesting thing about it, just real quick before I forget, it's actually one of the only films you'll find major motion pictures with an all male cast.
Yeah.
There's not a single.
Oh, you're right.
There was supposed to be a woman in the movie originally, but she got pregnant and she was replaced by a dude.
Yeah, I remember because she still worked on the set.
That bitch.
How dare she get pregnant?
But I think it.
Shit.
I think it worked very well for the film.
You're
going to
get
like,
in trouble.
You weren't. There wasn't any like complicated interplay between the characters. It was just a really hard situation and how people were able to try and, you know, get through it. Because I could not imagine finding worse odds to be against than having to fight something that can imitate anyone.
Well, so we kind of glazed over the transition.
We love glazing over things.
So,
Shaka bra.
So we were talking about the transition between the two movies at the end of the 2011 prequel. See,
oh my god, he's talking about Eagle Fits. Yeah,
Eagle Fits are coming.
There it is. I'm broken.
At the end of the 2011 prequel, two of the Norwegians are in a helicopter chasing the dog and doing their best Sarah Palin impression and trying to shoot him with a rifle from the helicopter. So that's where it ends. They haven't shot the dog. And then at the original 1982 John Carpenter thing, it starts off with, well, it actually starts off with a spaceship in space. But
a spaceship in space?
Where else?
How fascinating.
Hey, it winds up in the ice. That's where else it would end up.
Cheers, guys.
I have to say, you have really good taste in ginger
happy
beer.
Happy 10th episode.
Oh, Cock and Bull is the best.
Cock and Bull and the
Cock and Wolf. The Cock and Bull.
Cock and Bulls.
I want ginger beer to get me by the balls.
So, off the rails.
Bring it back.
It's crying.
So, the original starts off with the guys in the helicopter trying to shoot the dog, and then they go into the American Frank McCready's camp and shoot Louis C.K. in the leg and try and kill the dog.
Wow, we clipped the shit out of that, but that's cool. That was a good. That was appropriately placed laughter. Oh my gosh. No, I just I almost feel like we could fill just a whole hour talking about this film.
An hour, nothing. We could talk for longer than that movie was about that film.
I was saying earlier how I feel that it's one of the few movies that, like, to me holds up.
Right.
The special effects, fuck, dude. The fucking scene where the guy's on the gurney and, like, they're examining
his stomach
and the
rips
fucking
open.
Stomach split open with the teeth and the biting and the,
It holds up better than CG.
Hey, we're gonna get ahead of ourselves because every single scene in that special effects wise was amazing.
Totally
but the scene on the gurney is like, that's a ways up. We our buddy, I rewatched the thing, the original this morning. Because I just wanted to see it right after the prequel.
Yeah.
Because why not?
And because porque no
los dos. I watched both actually yesterday and today too. So
right.
I mean.
Oh, prepared Jorge.
Hey.
So
I tried to read the novella and realized
how
dry it was.
The novella is very.
I'm normally over prepared, but you know, recently I've been a little, you know,
preoccupied.
So
I have a baby.
I'm Mr. I have a baby. I can't. Be
I'm
fucked.
An adult. I have a baby. and I lost my train of thought. Cock and balls.
you really did lose your
train
of thought.
I got so sidetracked. So we watched it this morning, and our buddy had never seen it.
Who's we?
Would be Mikey and I.
The two of us.
And
our buddy Ryan.
Buddy Dimes. Because his dick's like a roll of dimes. And he's going to listen to his podcast. That's why I had to throw
it in. Yeah, his dick is like a roll of dimes.
That's his nickname is Dimes?
Yeah, ever since he was like in middle school. It goes deeper than that, but that's all you need.
That's
it
what
really
she said.
Does, it really does.
Oh,
though.
No,
it
see,
really
there
does.
You, that's what she
yeah.
said. Not to the roll of dimes.
No.
So,
poor guy.
He had never seen it, and when I put the DVD in, for some reason, it queued up right on the kennel scene.
Aww.
So, he just instantly, he saw the tentacles coming out, and the dog, like, morphing, and I was like, oh, that's a little too far, but he was hooked.
He was hooked already?
He was hooked from the second he saw it.
Oh, man.
That movie will always stay good. Like, no matter, in 50 years after watching that movie, it's still going to be powerful. There's only one scene in the movie that dates it, and that's when they break out the computer. And they have a little simulation.
But but even still, I mean, dating a movie is not a problem for me.
Right.
When a movie feels dated,
yeah.
that's the problem.
Right. But
you know,
short, if that scene was cut out, that film would still hold up. Just like the 2011 one, it's got kind of like...
Aside from
you'll know that
Homeboy roller skating and... and Kurt Russell's feathered hair.
Black people love to roller skate. That's what I know.
I was gonna say hipsters.
Black people still roller skate.
That's what I know. Black people love to roller skate.
This is things I learned about black people in college.
Documented.
In today's science lesson.
I'm half a black
break
person.
Breakdancing, and roller skating.
Apparently. Yeah. Duh.
Went out in the '80s.
You're an asshole, George.
Am I? That's the first time that's ever been said.
That's the first podcast, and it wasn't directed towards me.
I know, right?
No. I hate to keep gushing about it, but fuck, man! Like,
it's so easy to.
It's one of those things where there's a few films in my life that are like this. It's a Jurassic Park that you can't like. You
right.
watch Jurassic Park and you're like, that's fucking amazing. No matter what happens, you watch Alien. No matter what you do, you watch that film. And you're like, fuck, that's great. Why can't we do this more often? You watch the
Big
thing.
Big Trouble in Little China.
Captain Ron.
Okay.
Sky High. Overboard.
Totally valid point. There are very few films that are really able to hold their power
and,
for so long.
And more so horror movies. Because
right.
it's you know, there's a certain point where atmosphere and effects, that kind of thing, gets sort of overshadowed by the years.
And speaking of atmosphere, they did a really good job of keeping almost the entire film dark, but not too dark as to where you couldn't see anything. You could see your way around, but there could be anything lurking in any shadow.
Yeah, right.
It gave you this feeling of being alone and being isolated, especially being up in, like, you know, the icy South Pole.
And it's interesting you say that. One of the few modern things that has sort of given that same feeling to me was Dead Space 1.
Yeah.
You've played Dead Space
Absolutely,
1.
Absolutely, yeah.
Dead Space has that I almost feel like they were like, okay, what did the thing do? We want to do the exact same thing.
The thing in Event Horizon, put them together, make a video game.
Yeah.
You know, it's really funny to actually see the amount of like pop culture, including video games, that the thing has influenced. As I was watching today, excuse me, fuck.
Nice.
As I was watching,
got that ginger beer going.
It's the shitty beer. That's what it is.
Oh. I got you a Dark and Stormy, son.
I want to finish the shitty beer.
So there was a thing video game released.
Well, I wasn't even talking about that.
Wait, what?
We'll get to that. As I was watching again today, and the tentacles came out of the dog, the first thing I thought was Resident Evil 4, and I said, "That's right. An obvious homage." Like, mm-hmm. even some
homage.
Of the
homage, Matthew.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Say it right,
Matthew, darling.
Sorry, I'm too old to be a hipster.
Hipster? What the
wait,
fuck?
Wait, wait, wait. Well, you're too old English to be a hipster. You're a double hipster now.
Because
you said you're too old to be a
hipster.
That
means
double
you
would have
been a hipster before it was cool to be a hipster. Yeah. Like, it's
well,
your
I was.
So you're double hipster.
I'm comic book guy.
You're hipster times
you
two.
You are comic book
I'm
guy.
Too good for everything, and everything
too
is
cool.
The worst something
too
ever.
Too cool for school Smith.
Yeah.
Okay, continue. Sorry.
Worst podcast ever.
No! It's actually quite brilliant.
And I lost my job.
Brilliant!
Brilliant. So, when you were talking about the tent, like, you see that
this
film is
not a pop culture, it's influence. Like, you know, you've seen it in South Park, you've seen it in Resident Evil, you've seen it in, like, countless other shows and video games and movies.
It's definitely an influential film.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's
okay, you said there was a video game?
For PlayStation 2 and Xbox.
No, there was
There was
not.
A video game. I never got to beat it.
I just
found
out last night.
It was, I played a little bit of it. I didn't own it. I remember it being terrifying, but also... Not it didn't have the best production value. So
hold the phone. Hold
yeah,
on.
Are you really? We're gonna look this up.
And from the game does make reference to something that would happen at the end of the movie that's not actually in the movie, but John Carpenter said that it is in fact correct.
What was that?
That MacReady got rescued by a search and rescue team. They only said MacReady.
And if you play the game, the characters aren't based off the film likenesses. The Thing, are you looking at The Thing 2? Is that what I'm seeing here? They're going to make a sequel, potentially? Okay, this is news to me.
No, but
yeah.
this is 2 years ago. I didn't have it.
Well, I mean, if we're going to actually go ahead and speak about the resolution of the film, because, I mean, anybody who's listening to this podcast has seen the film before, and if you haven't,
if you
what
haven't,
the fuck are you doing listening
been,
to the podcast?
Yeah,
go watch the movie.
It's been over 30 years. You're fucking lagging.
Speaking of 30 years, oh my god. So, how old did you turn?
29.
You son of a bitch.
Why, are you 30?
I hate
30.
You.
Oh, you
31.
31. Oh,
31.
That's the worst part, because then you're in your 30s.
You could have as much gray hair as Matt.
Hey, fuck you.
He's, no, Matt.
I could also have as much hair
would,
as Matt,
that's
and I'd be
true.
Okay with it.
I don't have as much either.
Yeah,
that's
no, same
much.
Here. Same here, bro. Same
don't
here.
Fuck with the lion's mane, bitch.
Yeah, I wouldn't say a word.
I would say he looked refined if it wasn't for the fact that he doesn't know how to say homage.
this is how we keep up the Jay and Silent Bob personas.
That's okay. My hair's not
as long as my
is,
beard is strong. I give no shits.
Your
beard
I have nothing.
Strong.
My beard is strong.
I got my Johnny Depp mustache. I just call it that because it makes me feel better about it.
Chocolate.
My
that's your chocolate mustache.
So back to the
work. Yeah, we're getting
so,
a little off
the
topic.
The resolution of the film. It's one of the stronger points. I think it's one of the reasons that the film really resonates and sticks with people because. In the end, you have everybody has basically been turned the thing or killed by the thing except for the final two characters.
MacReady!
No, there was Homeboy who was shot in the head who was killed by Kurt Russell, not the thing.
Okay, true. That's actually two guys that were shot in the head because the Norwegian was shot in the head as well.
That's true. The initial Norwegian
God,
shot.
But anyways, he just wants me to be wrong. It's okay. It's okay.
I have to be factually correct for our threes of listeners.
A threes of yes,
our whole
three of them.
Singles of listeners.
So,
that's fine. My cousin listens.
All of
so
our
it's
listeners.
Totally cool.
George's cousin.
Shout out to Amanda.
What up, Amanda?
This is gonna sound really okay. We're very professional.
Yes.
Totally.
So the
so,
resolution.
So the resolution
of
the
film.
So we end up with the last two characters, MacReady and
Giles.
Keith David. Giles. Yes. Keith David always awesome. You know him from They Live and. A bunch of voice acting gigs and whatnot.
If
yeah, actually,
lucky,
I've seen a
lucky.
Lot of people beat the living shit out of Roddy Piper, but I think...
nobody did it as well as Keith David.
Nobody did it as well as Keith
David. Shit.
So, it's the ending of the film is very ambiguous. You end up with Giles and MacReady in the snow. Basically...
Childs.
Childs, sorry. I'm thinking of my dog.
You say Giles?
My dog, Giles.
Like Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Yeah, the dog's actually named after me. Yeah, yes, Giles, yes.
Why?
Anthony Stewart Head, the guy's brilliant. Watch him on Netflix.
Don't be a dick.
Shut up, man.
Yeah.
Anyways,
you're wrong.
So we end up with these two characters, and finally, like the entire compound is burning. There's no place to go. They're basically stuck out in the snow and they're just like eyeballing each other, waiting for the other to make a move. And basically, that's how the film ends, with both of them just sitting there to go out and.
So now I can tell you what I wanted to tell you.
Yeah, Matt was dying to tell me this when he's watching the film. He had a new realization at the end.
So I looked into it because I'm like, who was the fucking thing? And they asked Keith David at a convention, and he said, I don't know about Kurt, but if you look at me, it ain't me. I got my earrings in. And that's...
Yeah.
But John Carpenter has said, in that final scene, if you look, it's very obvious that Kurt Russell is breathing, and Keith David is not. That's what I was trying to say.
He's not breathing?
I was trying to say, you see what's going on here. Kurt Russell had tons of hot breath coming out in front of his face as he was speaking. Keith David was absolutely nothing.
I was curious about, and now I'm going to have to go rewatch the ending, but I was very curious about, because they made that whole, the big deal out of it in the 2011 version, that the inorganic material couldn't be replicated. It's not something they really touched on in the John Carpenter film.
At all.
So yeah. I figured that could have been an easy oversight. You know, people just being like, oh.
It's kind of like who shot first in Star Wars.
Yeah. Han shot first. Greedo didn't even shoot.
Right.
Fuck that. Han's a badass. He shot Greedo
in
his face.
Badass, yeah.
Fuck Greedo. So anyways.
Greedo's a bitch.
I'm going to have to check that out. But you said, so Carpenter said something about it?
It's, if, like, you look on the IMDb in the trivia, it's when John Carpenter was asked, he's like, I think that last shot was set up fairly clearly to show that Kurt Russell or MacReady was breathing and Childs was not.
That seems like something that could be such just like a little oversight, though.
Well, and also,
honestly, the heat was pouring out of Kurt Russell's mouth. Just every breath was just like a huge cloud of just steam. And MacReady was or Childs was nothing.
I appreciate the ambiguous ending, though. At the same time,
I will say this: if the alien was intelligent enough to recreate everything down to organs,
wouldn't it be breathing?
It wouldn't have a problem recreating breathing.
It survived super easily in Antarctic.
It went into like a hibernation.
Yeah, no, it didn't survive. It went into hibernation.
It was frozen. That doesn't mean it was in hibernation. That means it just got frozen.
Well,
Encino Man got frozen. He was in hibernation.
Fucking man.
No, he's in the juice.
Yeah, I don't know. It replicates the being, and the idea is that it replicates it perfectly, so I don't know if I really buy that. I'll have to check into that myself, but I personally like the ambiguous ending anyways. It's kind of like if you watch a film like Total Recall, in the end of the film, there's an ending that people like speculate a lot about because...
Quaid!
Sit up the reactor, Quaid. So we all apparently got all of Total Recall, of course. Michael Ironside.
We could also do... We could
ask the Mars. These people need air!
Yeah!
So, but you get the ending. That's an ambiguous ending of the film.
That was pretty good.
And
good.
People think it's a happy ending, but if you pay attention to the end, normally screens fade to black. The screen fades to white in the end of that film. And Paul Verhoeven said that basically symbolizes Quaid getting lobotomized. So directors get off on that. They'll leave like a subtle little touch at the very end of the film and expect you to get it.
You know what? That's directors jacking off.
That
ran Shyamalan. Because also the story doesn't state that.
No,
that's Verhoeven being like, "Oh, I'm so clever.
I'm so clever."
Make another RoboCop.
Yeah, no. Those people.
They are making another.
No, Verhoeven making another RoboCop.
Oh god! Before we sign off, because we are real long on tooth for signing off on this fucking podcast. Have you guys seen the trailer for the new RoboCop?
Yes, I have mixed feelings about it.
Yeah, I mean,
you have mixed feelings?
Yes, I do.
How do you have mixed feelings about it?
Because I have low expectations, that's why. I'm constantly disappointed by remakes all the fucking time, right? It's a reimagining
I
of
wish
it.
The audience could see my face.
Jaw on the
it's
floor.
It's ugly.
There's no way. There's no way that movie's gonna be good. There's no way.
Okay, good. I thought you said
there's no way
that movie's gonna be bad.
There's no fucking way.
There's no way it will be as good as the original film. If you take it on its own merits, it might be something else.
it's not going to be as bad as RoboCop 3 with the fucking cyborg ninja army.
You're full of shit. So I'm...
RoboCop 3 Ninja Gaiden!
RoboCop 3 was fucking amazing.
Ninja Gaiden's amazing.
Shut your...
Are you serious?
Shut your whore mouth.
Oh my god.
Come on, dude.
RoboCop 1 was amazing. RoboCop 2 was good. RoboCop 3 was
fucking awesome. Was lame. Awesome.
Was Lethal Weapon 4 awesome?
Coming next week, RoboCop 3. And the battery.
RoboCop 3 jetpack and the battery. Oh. No, dude, there's no way that movie's going to be good. There's no fucking chance.
Okay.
No way!
Okay.
No way, dude!
I don't think it looks as bad as people are making it out.
You know what is good? The Thing.
The Thing is great.
Let's wash away all memories of what were we just talking about with The Thing.
Some piece of shit. I don't know. Okay, yeah. Some fucking garbage.
You want to wash away all memories with The Thing?
It is my birthday, man.
Ooh. You've got two birthdays to contend with tonight.
Yeah, my little sister's birthday is today. I love you, Morgan.
Oh, like, she's gonna listen to this. How old is she?
8.
This is really appropriate for 8-year-olds. Everybody, if you have 8-year-olds,
she
please.
Comes to our house and she says, can we watch the Boogeyman movies?
It's pretty good.
Yes, okay. You can, Morgan.
Yes, you can.
Yes,
oh,
you, can.
You can't sleep because you watch Children of the Corn? That's okay.
That's all right. We'll watch Children of the Corn, too.
We'll see where it goes.
So I think we could talk indefinitely about The Thing. And we could, and we won't, because you know, we could take hours and hours and hours,
or we could go out drinking for your guys' birthday,
which we will be doing.
So let's wrap this shit up so we can go get some fucking.
We'll
beers.
Flush this turd, and if you joined us for our birthday,
this turd doesn't stink so bad.
We got really fucked up.
Yeah,
we had to take taxis home.
Yeah,
wives were upset at us.
Mikey did some unspeakable things with a man in an alley.
My baby is left abandoned at home. And
we're terrible fathers, husbands.
And by the time this airs, Breaking Bad will be over for good.
Oh, I can't fucking wait. Jesus.
I'm already saddened. I don't know what's going to happen, but there's no more Breaking Bad, and I'm devastated.
It needs to be over. I'm so
Oh, you mean you mean Walt's going to be a jerk for another episode? Great.
2 episodes.
Great. He's gonna be the same character he's been for fucking.
He's gonna redeem himself.
I'm sorry. We'll talk about Breaking Bad later on. But
and then Dexter's ending. Big whoop.
Yeah, Bok Bok.
Fuck.
Both of those shows.
So, anyways, whogoestherepodcast.com, twitter.com/whogoestherepod, facebook.com/whogoestherepodcast, and search us on iTunes. Who Goes There Podcast? Not one word anymore. And feel free to give us a 5-star rating and a
unless
really
you don't like it, then don't.
No,
I mean,
fuck
whatever.
You. Still give us a really sweet review, and then we'll read your really sweet review on the air.
Yeah. All right, everybody. This is the Who Goes There podcast signing off for yet another episode. We've got Mr. Mikey.
That's me.
Woo.
Matt
I'd be
Smith.
Matt.
And Jorge signing out. Thank you, guys.
Ow! So we drunk.
All right. Oh, shit, that didn't stop.
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be alright, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.
And who goes there to no, you?
We got through an episode of that man talking about dicks.
Kind of.